Feels nice to be back here again.
It does.
I miss this space.
It does.
Although now we have a green screen, so arguably we could take a picture of this background and broadcast from anywhere. They would know because they would see us like sprawled out with an immense amount of room if we were anywhere but in this space. Should I just hit your hand? Hi, everybody. I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast.
2015!
Season 2.
Season 2. We made it all the way to Season 2. We made it past the new year.
And we're still live, and we're still kicking. Mostly, Ryan has a busted ankle, as you might have seen in our Christmas video.
Yes, I broke it walking the dog, fighting snow ninjas.
Yes, that is the official story, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah.
But yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Because it is Monday. It is like January something.
5th? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's the 5th.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm dating us because this is a two-part episode, so it doesn't matter. This will be all of January. We'll be Happy New Year Day episodes. Because we wanted to talk about the year in review. I mean, 2014, not the world year, because a lot of stuff happened. We couldn't encapsulate it into a paragraph, let alone a podcast.
No.
Or a podcast, let alone a paragraph, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, between police abuse and Aboriginal women going missing and the government doing nothing about it and receding environmental legislation and Toronto elections... There's a lot of things that happened in 2014. 2015, I think we have an election, federal election. Is it 2015? 2016?
I think it's 2016.
I like that we had a provincial and a municipal election. Didn't even make the cut in my like brief year review paragraph. Did not care one bit, which we'll probably talk about in a future episode because it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, icebreaker.
Mm.
Huck, Ryan. Yes. What is your perfect way to celebrate New Year's?
My ideal would probably be to get everybody over to my place.
Because you're lazy and you don't want to leave?
Yeah, I really don't like leaving. Get everybody together, people that are relaxed and not interested in boozing it. Just, you know, some light refreshments. You could have a few drinks, but nothing too crazy. And then just sit down and watch movies or listen to music. Maybe play some games, but mostly just watching Netflix. Just throw Netflix up and watch that until roughly midnight. Acknowledge that the year has changed. Drink your champagne. Kiss your partner. And then...
Get out so you can go to bed?
Yeah, or something like that. You know, New Year's done. Go home. So I think that would be... it comes from...
Bonus challenge question. What movie would you watch?
You know, I would probably want to make it thematic. So
zombies?
Well, no, I would say more like, not everybody likes the Rocky movies or the Karate Kid movies, but it'd be fun to do something that has multi episodes. Like,
I've heard there are 6 Star Wars movies. Is that
true? There are 6. Well, there's 3 that we know of. We could do Star Wars. We could do Star Trek. Or you could, I guess you could pick a TV series. Like if you want to watch like all of a season or a series of Doctor Who, you could do that. That'd be kind of fun. Or watch all of the Christmas specials or something like that. So, that's what we did growing up. We would rent a whole bunch of movies and, then just my sister and I would try to stay up as late as we could. That's kind of my bag. I don't really like going out to a degree, but I prefer to stay home.
Fair enough.
How about you, Jim?
I prefer to go out mostly because I have a small apartment, but, I have actually rung in the new year like this a couple of times. I did not do it this year. This year I was mostly playing Dragon Age, which we'll get to in a little bit, but, I play D&D or, you know, I role play in some other kind of way, play some kind of tabletop game. But yeah, that is, you know, ideally we all show up around noon cause we all have the day off and we're like, all right, well, let's roll some characters and do some things, sling some dice, and 12 hours later, you're all done, you go home, you're all tired.
Mm.
It's a good time. But the downside is that if you know more than, say, 5 or 8 people, if, like, 12 people are like, hey, yeah, I really want to come to that, you have a difficulty.
Mm.
And as you travel through life and accumulate more friends... that becomes a challenge because running a D&D game for 12 people is really challenging.
Right.
But, nonetheless, My solution to that is to have two D&D games. Hence why I have two D&D games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is sort of my perfect ideal New Year's. I like how neither of them involve anything really genuinely related to New Year's, except using it as an excuse when no one has to work in the morning to get together and do stuff that we could literally do any other time of the year, but don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except for me, because I play D&D every week or so. D&D live stream starts back up on January 11th, so that's going to be fun. I'm excited, at any rate. They're all going to die. It's great. Anyway, this is our sort of best of podcast, best of 2014. Not best that came out in 2014, because much like this podcast, which happened in the past, and you are viewing or listening to a recording, if you are listening to this, you are missing out on our beautiful faces. You can find us on YouTube. If you are watching us on YouTube, that whole comment and aside was absolutely wasted. But we live in the past, so this is not necessarily the best stuff that came out in 2014, because we probably don't know anything about it. This is the best stuff that we experienced and took in and played and, I don't know, other verbs or something in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the content creators I watch always do some sort of year-end recap of all the things that they've seen and done and whatnot. So it seems appropriate that we would have our own list of things that
of. Our list of stuff doesn't actually, I think, involve anything that came out in 2014. With the exception of probably Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, like, I watched Total Biscuit's review of, you know, best games of 2014 and games that came out. And there was some, actually, I did play a game that came out in 2014. I played Shadows of Mordor, and it was amazing, but it is not my game of 2014. It is my 2014 game of 2014, but not my game of 2014. It's complicated. Anyway, you have a book-related confession to make.
Yes, I didn't really read as much as I wanted to in 2014, for various reasons. But so the book I have two answers for top book read in 2014.
You have two answers for everything.
I do have two answers. The unique book, or I should say, the book that I read for the first time and finished in 2014, was a book. It's called A Short History of Modern Philosophy, written by. Oh, his name escapes me.
Was it actually very short?
It was about 300 pages, and it covered from Descartes to Wittgenstein. Very short history of early modern philosophy. Roger Scruton, I think is his name. So that book wasn't written in 2014, but I read it in 2014. And so that would be my book for the book that I had not read before that I read. But the book that I did read and enjoyed, because you can't help but to enjoy it, is I reread the book one of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. So, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I was waiting for you to repeat the title, just for the sake of repeating the title.
So, anytime I read that book, it's a charm and a pleasure, and that was definitely my favorite book to read in 2014.
Oh my. My favorite book that I read last year was, In late in 2013, I took a trip just to Toronto, just for a weekend. But I took the train, took the bus. And I read a lot of books when I'm on the bus. And I read about 9 of these space mercenary books. And they're all like future history, space mercenary stuff. It was a sort of continuum or collaborative universe writing by a bunch of sci-fi authors at the time. It's in the like late 1980s, I want to say, early 1980s. But, and it was all mostly about dudes doing dude stuff, books by dudes, and things like that. And I got really sort of fed up. So in 2014, I didn't read any books by dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of went through my shelves and found a bunch of books by women, and I read them. And I don't know that I have any, like, serious critical opinions on the differences or whatnot. I mean, I was sort of primed for appreciating differences, and a lot of it also depends on genre and era and preferences of readers at the time. But nonetheless, it means that the greatest book that I did read in 2014 was really great. It was by a lady. It was by M.K. Wren. And it was called A Gift Upon the Shore. And it was all about the preservation of books in a post-apocalyptic society. Specifically, not just preserving books from, weather and terrible conditions, post-apocalyptic conditions, but preserving them from post-apocalyptic ideologies. Mm-hmm. The notion, the protagonist lives with and is a teacher in a group of post-apocalyptic evangelicals. And several of them have some choice opinions about the content of the books and the content of her lessons, regardless of whether or not those are facts. And so there's a lot of religious and secular tension, but really the tension orbits around why ideas are worth preserving. I mean, it's easy to see why you'd preserve, engineering manuals and physics textbooks and things like that. Like, you need things that help you understand the universe. But you preserve Jane Austen and Mark Twain because you also need things that tell you about the way that things work. Yeah, that was definitely my book. My number two book was probably Gone with the Wind, which is really good. But it is the great American novel, for reasons which are apparent when you read it and you're like 300 pages into it and you're like, wow, this is the great American novel. Who knew?
Maybe I should throw that on my book list.
It's a good time. It's super thick, but I would recommend it. I also have the sequel, but I haven't read it yet. Sequel not by the same author, but apparently is still a sequel. I don't pretend to understand it. Anyway, best game that you played?
So I played a few games this year. Again, not necessarily all games released in 2014. For example, I replayed a little bit of Borderlands, and now I'm currently working through the pre-sequel. The
pre-sequel did come out in 2014.
It did come out, but I haven't finished it yet, and I'm not far enough into it to make a decent value judgment.
Just tell everyone you love it.
I do love it so far. I also played, I picked up Ghostbusters after Harold Ramis died. So I started replaying that, and there's one other one. I was playing through a bunch of the Lego games because Sarah really got into the Lego games.
Oh, nice.
So Lego Harry Potter, Lego Hobbit, Lego Lord of the Rings.
You play these on console, right?
All on 360.
Okay.
Yep. And then recently I picked up the Lego Star Wars collection, episodes 1 through 6.
Sweet.
All on one disc. But I would say the game that came out in 2014 and that I enjoyed the most was probably South Park Stick of Truth.
Really good.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I know a little bit of it, but I don't think I got all the nuances or all the references to the show as somebody who is a hardcore fan, but I caught a lot of the references. But it was one of those games that you just, you turn it off and then you're like, oh, I want to keep playing because I want to see what happens next in the storyline. It was raunchy, crude, definitely not something to play with kids in the room, but it was a fun game, and I really enjoyed playing through that one.
Kathleen from Loading Ready Run did a Let's Play of it. She did. She streamed it, mm-hmm. and I watched it there because I do not like South Park.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's not my kind of jam. I often find it to be really problematic. I don't. A lot of things I don't like about it, but the game looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching it, and I'm like, I don't like South Park, but I'm going to watch this anyway because it's Kathleen and she's really funny. And I'm like, this game looks kind of good. I didn't play it, and I have no real ambitions to play it, but because I watched her play the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch it, and it did look really good. I played a couple of games that came out in 2014. I played Borderlands, the pre-sequel,
mm-hmm.
which is fun. I played Shadow of Mordor, which I believe I mentioned is awesome. But my game of 2014 is I rediscovered Dragon Age. Dragon Age Inquisition. Dragon Age 3 came out in last year. And several people I know have been playing a lot of it. And I went, oh, that looks like it would be kind of fun. But I never played Dragon Age 2. So over Christmas, I played Dragon Age 1 all the way through. And now I'm about 3/4 of the way through Dragon Age 2. And I bet you when I finish this, whenever I do finish it, I'm just going to buy Inquisition and play my ass through it.
Mm-hmm.
because it looks really fun and it looks really cool, and I'm now super attached to and invested in all these characters. As you noticed, when Ryan came over before filming, I had just finished beating a boss, and I'm staying there. I'm like, I can't, you have to come in because I'm watching this cutscene. I just beat up the Air Shock, and now we're like deciding the fate of nations. Yeah, I felt like a super dork, but I'm really glad that I watched that thing because it sets up the next act, and it's important. And once we're done here, I'm going to go back and play it so I can find out what happened.
Yeah, I hope to go home and continue playing Borderlands.
You should probably go to bed.
Yeah, I probably should go to bed, but we have friends over, so we probably have to play host and entertain for them.
Anyway, best movie.
I find that I don't go out to the theaters a lot, and since I'm trying really hard not to torrent things anymore, especially now that the Pirate Bay has been taken down, I just haven't been incentivized enough to try to find a replacement. So a lot of the stuff I watch is things I've already seen on Netflix, or like things I've seen that are on Netflix that I've already seen in the past. So in terms of new movies this year, I don't remember everything that I've seen in the theater, but I just saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
I also saw Guardians of the Galaxy. That was the last movie I saw in the theater.
And it was really good.
It had an overly violent space raccoon, so I love it.
Yeah, it was a fun, like, it didn't even feel like a popcorn movie. A lot of times, like, for example, I thought of the first Thor movie as a good popcorn movie. It wasn't like well written.
That was not a fault that it had.
It wasn't the best acted movie, but I was entertained as a popcorn movie. You just sit there, you mindlessly shovel popcorn in your mouth, and it's just you're kind of entertained by the moving pictures and stuff. But I found Guardians of the Galaxy was more than that.
Yeah, I definitely had real feelings during Guardians of the Galaxy.
So I would say that is probably my favorite movie of 2014.
Cool. I'm just looking at our time. Favorite other things of 2014. Favorite YouTube channel that you discovered or relearned to enjoy?
I would say, I don't remember if I discovered this in 2014. I have a sneaky suspicion I discovered it in 2013, but PBS Idea Channel is the one that I caught every weekly update. Mike Rignetta, who's the one of the main writers and the host of that show, also started a podcast on his own called Reasonably Sound. Which I love the fact that his sign off is this podcast has been reasonably sound. When I create my own podcast, I really want to have a catchphrase that is that clever.
Really what you're waiting for, isn't it? Clever catchphrase.
That's the only thing that I need now. I forget regular content. I need a clever catchphrase.
I'm going to make you commit to that in the next episode. I just hope you're aware of that.
He created a secondary show, the podcast Reasonably Sound. Because I don't think he's a sound engineer, but he's just a little bit of a sound nerd, and so he does episodes on sound and sonics and whatnot. So he did an entire episode on A440, which is the standardized tuning for musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
A really nice guy, and then also he did a Thanksgiving episode where he did a Vlogbrothers style, just filming sound, ambient sounds, and then talking about it. So just like in the car, you could hear him getting out and like turning on the GPS and driving out of his house and driving to I'm assuming it's his parents' place. And then he did a few comments and he did a shout out to the Vlogbrothers. But anyways, I was so impressed by the quality of his capturing, because clearly he's capturing on the road. Maybe when he was on the plane filming or recording himself, he had his laptop open. But when he's in his car, I'm almost positive that it's his phone with a headphone jack or something. So I tweeted at him. I'm just like, hey, I really enjoy your show. I'm just curious what hardware you used. And he just, within minutes, shot me back a response. Like, hey, thanks for, I appreciate that you enjoy the show. I used my Galaxy S3, my iPhone, or sorry, my iPod, like the new generation one, and a pair of Apple earphone with the microphone built in.
Nice.
And his laptop speaker. And that's all he used to do it. But he laid that all out, and I'm like, oh, cool, what software do you use? And he goes, you know, a little bit of capturing in Audacity, and I do a little bit of editing in this other program. But, you know, super nice guy. You know, I really wish I lived in the States that I could go to one of his meetups. But anyways.
You could still go to one. You have a passport. Like, it's within your power.
Yes, that's true. But anyways, to cut the answer short, because I'm rambling now, favorite YouTube channel that I viewed in 2014, PBS Idea Channel.
So I what I interpret from your rambling is you would like to edit the podcast from now on.
That's why I maybe want to build a computer that has good enough capabilities to be able to handle that.
Ooh. You know, my favorite YouTube thing or thing that there are a couple I really love. Pemberley Digital's Frankenstein. It is funny. It is amazing. I really love the art assignment. But my favorite YouTube thing, my favorite internet thing for last year was Desert Bus 8. Partly because I just started a new job. And I started it the week after Desert Bus 8, so it was like my last week of unemployment. But I got to, half employment with freelancing and whatnot. But I got to watch basically all of it. Out of the 158 hours that they bust, I probably watched 120. Sort of everywhere I go, I have it on. I didn't go very many places because it was Desert Bus, and I laughed, and I cried, and the Desert Bus gets really emotional. Mm. And it was a really good time, and I spent a lot of time in the chat. I helped out with a little bit with the Desert Bus epic poem, and you know, lots of really random things. But they do an incredible job every year, and they are hilarious and wonderful. Mm. And they don't do sketch comedy anymore. Mm. Loading Ready Run did their last talking about this. It was just last week. They did their last sketch. Hmm. They did 11 seasons of sketches. And they're still doing a bunch of other stuff. They're not retired by any stretch of the imagination, but they want to free up the time from their weekly sketches to do a bunch of cool stuff. Hmm. If you are curious about it, you can totally find a link to Desert Bus and Loading Ready Run down below, and also over Ryan's face, because I do that. That's still going to be a thing this season. The rule of the podcast is, everything cool that you do, I cut. Which, if you start editing the podcast, you might be able to change.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, what was your favorite internet thing?
Other than Twitch Plays Pokemon, because I actually...
Fish Play Street Fighter? Yeah. Fish Play Street Fighter was so amazing. My nieces love it.
For me, Twitch Plays Pokemon was definitely awesome. Yeah, it was the only thing that I consistently went back to. No, I would say my favorite internet thing was starting to learn about the Internet of Things, which is probably nowhere near a new concept for anybody who knows anything about the Internet of Things. But I recently...
I agree that it is probably not new to people who already know about it.
But, yeah, okay, touche. But since I started my new position at the college, I take minutes for, among other things, the Information Technology Committee and the Electronics Committee, and one of the topics that keeps coming up is the Internet of Things, and then CBC has run a few segments on it on their Spark program, and then a few blogs and sites that I frequent often talk about it, and it's a really interesting, I mean, the Internet of Things has always been there, like when as a kid when I watched Back to the Future, for example. I think Back to the Future 2 is supposed to come true this year.
Yes.
Not the hoverboard, but the date in which they go back.
I'm really hoping that the fashion comes forward. I've got a whole bunch of like neon stuff in my closet.
I just want a self-drying coat, or self do up sneakers that are not crappy. But like the concept of an interconnected digital life is not necessarily new, but that we're getting incrementally closer to realizing it now beyond toys. Like a lot of technology, a lot of things that we have are more or less toys, as opposed to, say, connecting your bed and your chair to a Wi-Fi.
Why would I need a Wi-Fi bed?
I don't know. But what the Internet of Things says you do.
What would I do? What would my bed do with a Wi-Fi connection?
It would probably track sleep, track your movement.
True.
It could perhaps quantify the quality of your sleep. If you're into the quantified self, that would definitely help. I'm not sure. Maybe.
Like, really? Like, is it going to play soothing music?
Maybe. Or maybe, maybe if it detects that you're not sleeping well, it'll gently start, like, rumbling the bed so that it's, I don't know if you find that comforting.
That would be terrifying!
Probably, when your bed thinks for itself, but...
Well, no. I mean, that my bed actually thinking brings into a whole other... I don't particularly, you know, wish to live a life under the scrutiny of my mattress.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah. That's Dave's not here, man. Yeah. First off, and second off, no, that makes as a person who is perfectly fine with putting chips in their body, putting chips in my bed weirds me the hell out.
Well, yeah, because that's how you get ants. What was your favorite internet thing of 2014?
I already said it was Desert Bus, but
I thought that was your favorite YouTube thing.
It was also my favorite internet thing, but okay. I can pick another favorite internet thing. Sure. This will get a little dark. This is not actually my favorite internet thing, but it is the first internet thing that sprang to mind when we thought about internet things. Things being sites or memes or movements or things that happened. And there was a lot of social justice stuff going on this year, mm-hmm. which was really great. There were a lot of really cool and really powerful hashtags being passed around, like Yes All Women and Black Lives Matter and mm-hmm. Stuff like that. But the first one that I thought of, and this is not my favorite, nor is it the best by any stretch of the imagination, was Gamergate. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why it is on that list is because every time there is an incident like this, or a series of incidents like this. I mean, I classified 2014 as the year that we found out, because mm-hmm. these things happen all the time, but this year a lot of it was brought to light. Mm-hmm. And is that people that I follow on the internet, people whose work I'm really interested in, people whose videos I watch or music I listen to, or who I just talk with on social media, invariably a small fraction of them, hopefully small, will leap forward from the closet of misogynistic idiocy and parade it around in front of everyone. And I am glad that they feel comfortable living out in the world as misogynists, mm-hmm. and so that I can then unfollow them and not deal with their crap, and hopefully dissuade other people from having to deal with their crap. Mm-hmm. That is the only silver lining to things like this that I can see, is that apart from hopefully bringing awareness of, for example, the pressures that women face in the gaming industry and on the internet in general, into the light and into the mainstream, or similarly the kinds of racial pressures that people of color experience when dealing with police officers. Mm-hmm. And these are I don't know that that's a silver lining, because in order for people to hear about these things, they have to be happening a lot.
Yeah.
But that is the internet thing which I note most, and which I sort of spent the most time interacting about. Speaking of shitty things that happened this year, the highs and lows of 2014.
I'm going to kind of echo what we said at the top of the show, that there was just a lot of lows that seemed to grip the news cycle, that gripped my attention. So I don't really want to talk too much about it, but I will acknowledge that there's a lot of crappy things that went on, not just in North America, because we talked about a lot of things that happened that were Canadian-based at the top, but also things abroad, you know, the things like Boko Haram and mm-hmm. ISIS and whatnot. So I don't want to talk about that. But in general, the highs of 2014, we landed a probe on a comet.
That was pretty
awesome. I just felt in general 2014, for me personally, it was just, if I had to sum it up into three words, it was awesome.
I did make him sum it up in three words.
He forced me, a philosophy student, to be concise. And I would say that it was, in 2014, it was awesome. For me personally, a lot of the things that I thought about, if you remember back first episodes of the last year's podcast when we talked about birthday traditions, when I was looking back at my entry for my 2013 birthday,
I noted a lot of things that were I was unhappy about. You know, I was unhappy about my body image. I was unhappy about not feeling creatively fulfilled. And then in 2014, whether consciously or unconsciously, I started to address those things. I started working out despite breaking my leg. I started working out. We made the podcast. I learned how to change the oil in my car. I helped a friend frame a shed. Jim and I and Gina and Kaylee made a song for Christmas.
We didn't actually make that song. Tim Minchin made that song.
Yeah, sorry. We recorded a cover and a video
for I would a love song. To take credit for White Wine in the Sun, but that is an amazing and beautiful song that we totally did not write.
Sorry, we did not write, but we did create a video cover and a cover song of it, which we'll link over top of my face.
Probably.
But that seems wise. So, I mean, 2014 for me personally was a really awesome year. I did a lot of cool things, and it really set me up for more things that I want to do in the future. For example, right at Christmas time, a friend of mine showed me how to build a computer. Now, instead of buying a computer, I'm going to look into building my own in the new year. And, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that in the next episode. But it's 2014 just was a great year for me.
Nice.
How about you?
My highs and lows were, pretty high. We had a great time at Headshots. We're working hard on next year's Headshots, which will be in September instead of May, because September is better. You hear it here first. September, better than May. But, I had a fair amount of... I guess I had a fair amount of low points. I stopped writing for a while, which really bothered me. Don't have enough. Like you get to that point where you're like, you want to do a thing, but you can't actually muster the motivation to do it.
My thesis is like that.
So you just sort of feel bad about it, and then you continue to not do it because now you're so busy feeling bad about not doing it that you're still not doing it. And I eventually just got to a point where I was like, "F it, I'm just going to write stuff." And I started writing stuff, and now I'm getting back into the habit of writing stuff. Makes me feel much better. I also have a fun new job where I solve problems all day, which is super fun. And taxing and creative, but fun. I get really interesting problems. But, I want to do more dope shit. As Kanye West would say in this video clip. But beyond that, I can't. I mean, I guess the downside of 2014 is for the first half of it, I was sort of in a routine, and the fact that I can't remember very much of that routine means that it was dull and boring, and I'm endeavoring not to continue that because, I cannot stand dullness. I live in fear of it.
It is terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather be unfortunate than boring, and I don't know that that's a great view to have. I don't know that it's one I would recommend, but nonetheless, my fears and insecurities orbit far less around the notion of unfortunate things and far more around the notion of just plain being boring, which probably tells me that I have it pretty good. But on the note of me having it pretty good, and hopefully you are having a very good new year. And we will see you in 2 weeks. I will probably see you sooner on the channel playing video games. We're still playing Bioshock Infinite. I am still really bad at it. So if you have any tips, feel free to leave them in the comments. And we will see you next time. I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast, signing off.
2015. Stay awesome.
I totally forgot the thing that I say at the end. I totally forgot it. I was like, and this is the Concept Crucible. I'm like, this is not what I say. This is not what I say. I say signing off. And you say, stay awesome.
Yeah.